All right. So I'm excited about the topic tonight. It's something that I'm very passionate about. I'm going to speak on healing tonight, and next Saturday is the plan. So tonight, the title of my message is that the biblical mandate for healing. You know, as a believer, we have a biblical mandate for healing. So some of this is going to be basic. Some of it might be give you something to think about. But before we can go on to next week, where we really go after healing, we have to lay this foundation. So let's get started. Our biblical mandate for healing. So there, I have 5 points here, and then there's 5 questions after the 5 points that we'll go through. So the first one is healing was and is part of the atonement. It was and is part of the atonement. In Isaiah 53:5, you know, it says he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And 1 Peter 2:24 also quotes this. It says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So if Jesus paid a price for our healing, it should be a central part of our lives, right? Jesus' death and resurrection was a complete triumph over Satan and his kingdom. It was complete. The atonement gives freedom from every bondage Satan can muster. Freedom from sin, freedom from the bondage of guilt and shame, from oppression, from curses, from the bondage of sickness, disease, and emotional illness. However, the blessings of the atonement are not automatic. We don't automatically receive all those. For example, healings are usually released to people through the prayers or actions of other people. Usually, not always. You know, God uses men and women to preach salvation. God uses men and women to teach and encourage other believers. These are all blessings of the atonement. God uses men and women to exercise spiritual gifts for the edification of the body of Christ and to bring deliverance from oppression. You know, God can do all these things in his own supernatural strength, can't he? He can. But he chooses to use us. He chooses to use us, men and women of faith, to carry out his assignments here on earth. What an honor and privilege that is. So specifically, God uses us to release the blessings of healing. And we can see this in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the life of Jesus. But so in the Old Testament, some examples are, in Numbers 12:13, Moses prayed for Miriam's healing from leprosy. And in 2 Kings 4:18, Elisha prayed for raising the widow's son from dead. Elisha also sent Naaman to bathe in the Jordan River for his healing. Remember that story? In 2 Kings chapter 5. And also in the New Testament, there's numerous accounts after Jesus' ascension that the Lord worked healings through men and women. You know, Philip healed many in Samaria in Acts 8, 5 through 7. Ananias healed Paul's eyes. Remember that? When the scales fell off? Peter healed the lame man at the temple in Acts 3, 1 through 8. And Peter also raised Dorcas from the dead at Joppa. And he raised Eutychus from the dead after he fell out of a window. I'm pretty sure that's the right story. So there are a few, if any, instances recorded in the New Testament of God healing without using a man or woman. I find that interesting. It kind of challenges a lot of our thought processes today, I believe. So healing was and is part of the atonement. Number two, healing was at the center of Jesus' ministry. I don't think any of us can argue that. You know, what did Jesus say about himself? Well, in Luke 4, let's see, we'll start on in verse 18. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." What did Jesus' disciples, or how did Jesus' disciples describe him? You know, in Acts 10, verse 38, says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." And I'll just mention one verse in Matthew 15:30, about Jesus. "Great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them." You know, Jesus is our example. And we can't argue that healing was a central part of Jesus' ministry, and it still is today. So, third point, Jesus required his disciples to do the same as him, which includes healing. You know, in John 20, starting in verse 21, it says, "Jesus said to them, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you.'" Everything that Jesus did was the will of God, was on the Father's heart, including healing. He was sent from the Father, and in the exact same way Jesus was sending out the disciples. In Matthew 10, starting in verse 1, we'll kind of skip around a little bit here, says, when he had called his disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and disease. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "As you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." So have you ever given any thought to the fact that Jesus never told his disciples to pray for the sick? That might be a new thought. He just said, "Heal the sick." Right? That's what he told his disciples. Throughout the Gospels and the book of Acts, no one prays for the sick, but they sure did heal the sick. Now, I'm not saying don't pray for the sick, because in James chapter 5, you know, it says, "Come to the elders, they will anoint you with oil, and their prayer will, you know, for the sick, you'll be healed." But there must be another way to heal the sick without praying for them, right? So you better come next week to hear more about that. All right, so Jesus required his disciples to do the same. Number four, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the New Testament church did the same as Jesus, as Jesus' disciples did. You know, if we look at the life of Paul, he was not one of the 12 disciples, but he walked in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he healed many. In fact, he did extraordinary miracles, like we see in Acts 19:12. I like this one. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the New Testament church did the same as Jesus' disciples did. And then in Mark 16:14-20, we have the Great Commission. Says, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So we have healing was and is part of the atonement. And healing was central part of Jesus' ministry. Jesus required his disciples to do the same as him. And the New Testament church did the same as the disciples, which did the same as Jesus. Which leads us to number 5. What Jesus did and what the disciples did, we are also required to do. At the Last Supper, Jesus said a number of things to his disciples that have generally been thought to be to apply to his disciples today also, to all believers, those who follow him. So John 14, verse 11 through 14, says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do." And then the next phrase even stumps us even more than that. "Greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son." The works that I do, he will do also. And that's who's going to be doing those? He who believes in me. That includes us. And I think we've watered it down to just think that, well, we'll love the way Jesus loved, you know, with our thoughts. But, you know, this says the works that I do, he will also do. We are to do the works of Jesus. And then we have the Great Commission again in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. You know, Jesus says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." So this, and I've mentioned this before, this was never meant to end. The disciples were to go to all nations and make disciples, and make disciples, and make disciples, and make disciples. And what were they to do? Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Jesus commanded his disciples to do what he was doing. So I think that's included with that phrase right there. Healing and deliverance are evidence to the unbeliever of the power and mercy of God, leading to repentance. You know, if proper credit is given to Jesus for healings, they stir up belief in Jesus as the healer, and thus open the door for us to share the love of God, to share the truth of salvation with them. So healing was and is part of the atonement. It was central to the life of Jesus. His disciples were required to do it. The New Testament church was required to do it. And we are also required to do it. So now we have 5 questions that need to be settled in our hearts if we're going to walk this out, if we're going to see the sick healed in our lives. I mean, we all know people who are hurting and sick, right? It's an honor and privilege to be able to pray for the sick and see them healed. You know, many people, when I pray for them, they just keep thanking me after they've been healed. And, you know, I just want to thank them for allowing me to be used by God to pray for them. It's such an honor. So the questions start out pretty easy. At least I think they do. But they do get harder as we go. So the first one, does God still heal today? See, they're easy, right? You know, in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if God healed people in the Old Testament and during the life of Jesus in the New Testament, well then, he must want to heal people today. You know, and I could prove this by sharing numerous testimonies of people being healed, but that is not my plan for tonight. Because what we believe has to be based on Scripture and not our experience. So number 1, does God still heal today? I believe most of us here can say yes, he does. So that leads us to our second question. Is it God's will to heal? Another easy one. You know, many Christians think it's hard to know the will of God. But the fact is, we make it way too complicated. I mean, we just need to look at the life of Jesus. Because the life of Jesus perfectly portrayed the Father's will, the Father's heart toward his creation. You know, in John 6:38, it says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So it must be God's will to heal, because Jesus healed the sick. Matthew 6, 9 and 10, you know, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, just as it is in heaven." And I like this example of Jesus cleansing the leper in Matthew 8, starting in verse 1. It says, "When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." See, this man, he had faith. He knew Jesus could heal him. He says, "Lord, if you're willing." And what did Jesus do? Well, he put his hand and touched him, which you didn't do that back then. And he said, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately he was cleansed. So if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he is willing. It's his will to heal then, so it must be his will to heal now, right? All right, question number 3. Is it God's will to heal everyone? Okay, they're starting to get a little bit harder. Is it God's will to heal everyone? Yes. It is. Does God say yes to some and no to others? You know, in Romans 2:11, it says, "For there is no partiality with God." God does not show favoritism to some rather than others. Psalms 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity and who heals all your diseases." So God showed us his heart to heal through the life of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, it says, "When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick." He healed all who were sick. There are several verses that say he healed everyone who came to him. So did Jesus ever turn anyone away? No. So it was God. Clearly it was God's heart and his will for everyone to be healed that came to Jesus. Okay. Our next question. What happens if my experience doesn't line up with Scripture? You know, this happens, right? You know, unfortunately, much of our theology seems to be based on experience, on either our experience or the experience of others in the past, instead of what the Bible actually says. So in my life, as I'm praying for people and seeing them healed, you know, when I was in Brazil, so the second and third day before we were coming back, you know, I was praying for everyone, and it seemed like this last day, everyone that I prayed for was being healed. And that's all, it's awesome. But then it's like, and I didn't even realize it at the time, but then one of the last people I prayed for, he didn't get healed. And I just found that really odd. It's like, well, that's strange. I was so accustomed to just praying for the people and them being touched by God and healed. And the last person didn't. I'm like, well, that's weird. So what if I was to base my belief system off that? But I can't do that. We have to base what we believe off Scripture. Everyone that came to Jesus was healed. It is God's will to heal everyone. My theology must be based on Scripture and not my experience. Even when my experiences are good, they still have to be based on Scripture. You know, and this is tough because people want their questions answered. And if you're really going to go after this, which I want to encourage you to, sometimes you just have to say, I don't know why. We have to say, I don't know. But we must believe every time that we pray for someone that they're going to be healed. All right. Question number 5. Does God use sickness to teach or shape his children? I told you these questions got harder. Does God use sickness to teach or shape his children? You know, we've been taught this throughout history, that he does. But the Bible doesn't confirm this. The Bible does not say that the Bible does say that we will experience trials and tribulations, but it doesn't say that God causes sickness in order to teach us or to shape us into his image. See, if I believe that God causes sickness and I pray for someone's healing, am I praying against the will of God? Because he's still trying to work on there. You know, God's commanded us to heal the sick. Did anybody come to Jesus, you know, needing healing, and he says, you know, my father's not quite ready to heal you yet. He's still working on you. I mean, that just sounds kind of crazy, right? But we believe that. But I never read anything like that in Scripture, where Jesus turned somebody away because God was still working on them. You know, I want this church to walk in healing. You know, Pastor Doug, if you've been with us for a long amount of time, you might remember him saying, you know, that he wanted this place to be a pool of Bethesda, you know, where the hurting and sick would come and they would receive healing. That's in John chapter 5, verse 2. Let's just look at that. It says, there in Jerusalem, by the Sheep's Gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches, in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well, and whatever disease he had, of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately, the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. You know, I believe that if we want this place to be like a pool of Bethesda where people come and receive healing, we need to be Jesus in this story. Because we don't want to be a place where the first person who asks for prayer gets healed and that's it. Right? We want to be a place where everyone who comes receives. You know, in 1 John 4:17, the end of it says, "As he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we. And whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. So, I think I've laid a foundation here tonight that we do have a biblical mandate for healing. It was provided in the atonement. It was central to the life and ministry of Jesus. You know, Jesus, out of love and compassion, healed the sick. So as we're praying for those that are hurting, you know, we are just being obedient. We need to minister through love and compassion. Because no matter what happens, because I can't heal a headache, you know, in my own strength. But Jesus, he can heal cancer just as easy. So no matter what happens, no matter what the result, we need to be a blessing to that person. We need to show them that, you know, God loves them. And I will talk about this more next week as I share examples of, I'll share testimonies next week. We've got the scripture base now, so. I just really believe this is on the Lord's heart right now. I had told, you know, Fred and Jim that I wanted to do this message, I don't know, probably 6 weeks ago or so, that it had been on my heart to do a two-part message. And after that, I was planning on going to a leadership conference in Rochester, and Mark Hendrickson was going to be up there, and he called me a week or so before and said, hey, you want to come up a couple days early and we'll do some ministry together up in Wisconsin. So I said, well, at first it didn't work with my schedule, but the Lord worked that out. So I was very thankful of that. So I got to go up there and minister, and we actually did a healing service, well, two of them, at the same church. So, and that's not normal for Mark just to go after healing like that, but it was upon his heart. The Lord had laid that upon his heart. So I thought that was very interesting timing, you know, as I was preparing this message. And then last night, I got a little notification on my phone that Bethel Church in Redding, California was doing their healing and impartation service. It was the last night. So I just truly believe that this is on the heart of the Father, you know, that his sons and daughters would walk in confidence and would walk out a life of healing. So in conclusion, I guess, tonight, during the first song, I will be in the back. Whoever wants healing for prayer, or prayer for healing, yeah, come on back, and I would love to pray for you. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that you choose to use us to release your blessings, blessings of the atonement that you've already provided through the life of Jesus. We thank you for the example of Jesus that you've given us and the disciples. Lord, give us the courage to walk as you walked. Give us the courage to do the works that you did. So, Father, we just lay down our lives before you and say, yes, we are willing. Use us. We believe in your word. We believe that you have commanded us to heal the sick. So, Father, I just thank you for each person here. And I just release an anointing for healing. And it's available for anyone who wants it. So I just release that in this room right now, and I just say thank you. Thank you, Lord.